G'day punters, welcome back to the AFL Lions season 2015. Shitty and Sting here, looking to preview the second instalment of the 2015 pre-season guide. Sting, where are we up to?
Well, as we talked about last time, we're going to run through six sides per podcast here, much like the AFL punters guide in written format of the last 2 years. Bit of a synopsis of how each team will go, and most importantly, a look at the prices both for futures markets and some potentially profitable plays across the season. Last time out, we previewed the bottom six from last year, so we pick things up here with the Gold Coast Suns. 12th last year on the ladder with 10 wins. This year, they're $7.50 to make the top four, $2.25 to make the eight, and $1.65 to miss the eight, probably the three markets of most interest.
Absolutely. Look, I like the Suns to break through and play finals this year. I think they've recruited well again. Malcheski adds some experience, some poise and run off halfback. More importantly, adds some skill. They've got some really strong kicking options off halfback now with Broughton, Malcheski, Trent McKenzie, these types of guys. And their key forwards are developing really nicely. Tommy Lynch is an absolute jet. He's going to carry them through. If Charlie Dixon and those guys can, they've missed a fair bit of footy with injury, if they can get there on the ground and be a secondary option with those long kicking running halfbacks, they'll put plenty of points on the board. They've got a little bit of depth in the key post defensively, but the blokes they've got there do a really good job. Absolutely blistering midfield setup they've got there, so they'll trouble a lot of teams, especially at home, always really tough to beat up there. And I really like them to get that 13, maybe 14 wins and sneak into the real back end of the eight. So that's certainly a market I'll be having a look at. But another market I've found there, expecting Gary Ablett to spend a little bit more time forward this year than he has done previously, coming off that shoulder injury. Playing almost exclusively midfield, he's still been kicking two and a half goals a game for those guys. So if he's spending 30, 40% of his time in the forward 50, he'll average 3 goals a game this year. I reckon he could easily kick 50, 55 goals playing as that small forward come midfielder. And you can get $4 about him with Sportsbet to kick 40 plus this year. And I think there's massive value in that.
Terrific. Yep. That all sounds good. I think also the 225 for the eight, it's probably slide overs. There are a number of sides that I think are going to be fighting at the last few positions here. I'm a bit the same as you. I think they're just in rather than just out. So yep. 225 represents a little bit of overs, albeit to lock money up for 6 months. Probably not enough to get terribly excited about. One of my favourite teams in total points markets, the Suns. 16-5 to the over in day games across the last 2 years. 8-4 to the over last year. 15-8 to the under in twilight night games. They've been a terrific little cash cow on that front. And long may it continue.
Beautiful.
We move now to Collingwood, 11th position on the ladder last year with 11 wins. This year, $10 to make the top four, $3 to make the eight, and $1.45 to miss it.
Yeah, with an anchor this year, I think the Pies, unfortunately, with a very, very big anchor. They'll struggle for consistency this year. Their top flight player is still outstanding. Pendlebury, Swan, Cloak, these types. Reed hasn't played a lot the last couple of years, but they're just very, very one-dimensional at the moment. I don't think Buckley's game plan really works for this group. I understand it's a young group and they've got to develop, but I haven't seen anything in the last 18 months that's got me excited about this group, and I haven't seen anything that's happened in the last 4 months since the draft and the trade period that's got me any more excited about them. And I think that they won't get near what they put out last year in terms of wins. I think that probably 8 to 9 wins will pull them up for this year and have them in that real middle of the bottom 10 sides.
Yep.
You know, with Carlton and those sorts of sides, I can't see them getting anywhere near the finals. But unfortunately, $1.44 to miss the eight, probably my thoughts echoed by a lot of people in the market there. So not a great deal to get excited about.
Nah. I mean, one of the things that I think will be good again this year, and it's a trend that they've had for a couple of years, is they are generally an underside, and I'm not convinced they're going to score any more points this year than they have been.
I don't see where the points come from, to be honest. I mean, you know, if your entire game plan revolves around kick it to Cloak, a la, you know, Pagan's Paddock sort of setup, You can't have a Pagan's Paddock when you've got 10 other bozos running around in there and getting in his way, and then the blokes can just roll off and double team him. It's, you know, Cloke could have to kick 150 goals for these guys to play in the top eight, and I just don't think, well, that's obviously not going to happen. So,
well, that looks like a trend that will hopefully continue this year. The Pies, in the last couple of years, been very strong to the under in night games as favourite, and in particular interstate, 9 unders out of 10 games across the last two seasons.
Beautiful.
Side that does have some hope to make the eight, the Adelaide Crows. Last year finished 10th with 11 wins, albeit that they only won 1 out of 7 close matches. For those of you who listened to the first part of this podcast, Greg has a few views on sides that can't close these games out. I'm a little bit more in the camp that those things even out a bit over time. This year, the Crows, $4.25 to make the 4, and $1.90 either side in terms of making the 8 or missing it.
Yeah, and that's exactly where it should be, to be honest. They're a flip of the coin as to whether they finish 7th or 8th or 9th or 10th, basically. Yep. They'll be very much in that mix. They've got really good high-end quality. They've got some good young kids coming through. I think their defensive posts are their biggest concern. They've got, obviously, Talia, who's in the elite defenders in the competition, but it falls away very dramatically after him. And against the better sides that they're going to be competing with for those top 8 spots, they've generally got pretty solid forward structures where you can't just lock one down. I mean, they'll beat Collingwood because Talia will do a job on Cloke, and that's a job done there. So, but against the, you know, Hawthorn, for example, or one of those sides that have got 4 or 5 strong forward options, it's just too much for them. So they'll win as many as they lose, but they'll either just miss out or just fall in, I think, those guys. So nothing really there.
Yeah, I mean, they do have history in the last couple of years of flat track bullying some of the bad sides. They've jumped as favourites interstate 11 times in the last 2 years, and if you're jumping as a favourite interstate, you're playing someone pretty ordinary.
Yeah.
And they've covered 8 of those, so they can knock off the really poor sides, and they're also a pretty strong play to the over in those interstate games and also in day games, which suggests that they can pile on the points, but they're sketchy in stopping the points. And
It'll be interesting to see how that pans out this year. There'll be a bit of a wait and see side on that front for mine, because that was very much a Sanderson motto of just run hard and create and be attacking, and let's, you know, by virtue of him playing for Malcolm Blight back in the day, I'm sure it is, you know, we kick more goals and then we're going to win. So let's just keep attacking. And I'm not convinced that'll be the same way they'll go about it this year. I haven't seen a lot of them in the pre-season, I'll be honest, but I think they're a bit of a wait and see on how they'll prepare. But
got the cattle in the back line, you're kind of obliged if you think, well, against good sides, we probably can't keep them to less than 15 goals, so the only way we're going to win is if we shoot them out.
Yeah, I think so. But the main reason that the sides don't score as heavily is because they tend to possess the ball.
Yep.
The sides that aren't strong defensively will over-possess the ball, hold the ball up, so that, you know, basically choke the game down so that neither side has as many attacking opportunities, and then give themselves the best chance to win, you know, 14 goals to 12 sort of setup. But, I like Adelaide to make the finals, but I don't think them and Gold Coast both fit in, and I think Gold Coast are probably just a bit better across the paddock.
Yep. We move on now to the West Coast Eagles. 11 wins last year, which was good enough for 9th place. This year, they're $4.75 to make the 4, $2.10 to make the 8, and you can get $1.80 about them missing the 8.
Don't like tying up money, season bets for anything, you know, under that sort of $3 mark, but I'm going to with the $1.80 to miss the 8. No Glass is retired. Cox is retired. McKenzie's out for the season now with an ACL, and Waters is retired as well, I believe. So they're incredibly weak backward of centre. They've got quality forwards, but their midfield is inexperienced and it's very shallow. They will not play finals this year. That is an absolute moral, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them finish in the bottom 4.
Yeah, they've got a couple of trends over the last couple of years which suggest that they really will struggle to make the 8. They haven't beaten anyone who's actually finished in the 8 for a couple of seasons now, which is a horrific record. They've also been a horrible bet at home, covering only 7 of their last 24. But they're the same sort of cash cow as the Gold Coast when it comes to the total points, over in the day, under in the night, 16-6 both ways over the last 2 seasons. So that's where most of my West Coast money will be going, until that trend unravels itself, which it may well do at some point, but you ride these things until they knock you off.
Mate, you ride till a shoe bucks you or you don't ride at all.
Absolutely. We're moving into the sides that played finals now last year, and we kick things off with Richmond. 12 wins last year, good enough for 8th place, and an absolute pasting by Port Adelaide in the first week of the finals.
Yeah.
This year, they're $6 to make the top 4, $2.15 to get back to the finals, $1.77 the best price to miss.
Yeah, well, they had 3 of those 12 wins after 13 rounds or something, wasn't it, last year? So fell ass backwards into the finals on the back of a 9-game run. But at the end of the day, they did enough to get there. So you can't make any bones about that. I think I actually really like Richmond. I'm quite bullish about them. But I have been for a couple of years now, and they tend to keep poking me in the eye whenever I want to bet on them.
That's all right. We've had 2 books, and we've got them into the 8 both years.
Here's a trend for you, punters. Whenever I'm on Richmond, stay off. That's your
Richmond and Sydney.
Look, I like them. They're strong in all lines of the field. They've got a really solid set of defence with some hard running players coming off there. They'll you know, their midfield's really, really good. Obviously, Cochin's elite. Dustin Martin looks outstanding at the moment. He looks like he's really built that tank over another pre-season, and he's really damaging. He's an 80-metre player. Brandon Ellis is another one who runs really hard. They've got a strong forward structure with, obviously, Rewalt there. They lack probably another really good tall forward. Vickery, little bit. Griffiths, a little bit. But the likes of Ben Lennon and those sorts of guys coming through just give them more options forward of centre. And look, if their list stays healthy, particularly Alex Rance, they were shithouse when he was out last year, but when he came back in, they won 9 straight. So if they can stay healthy and particularly keep Rance on the field, then I think they can challenge for the top 4. Not going to back them at the $6 for the top 4, but I think I'll certainly have a bit of them to make the top 8 at 215.
Yeah, agreed. I've got them a little bit above Gold Coast and Adelaide in that race for the bottom half of the 8. A couple of interesting trends here. The Tigers have actually showed a little bit of bottle on the road the last couple of years, covering 9 of their last 13 interstate. And they've been a pretty strong underside across both of the last 2 years on a number of fronts. Interstate games, Twilight Night games, MCG, when they jump as favourites. You're struggling to find a trend where betting the over in a Richmond game is the way to go, but there's plenty of ways to get money from them on the under. Now, we move on. that half sigh, half God-fearing moment that all Essendon fans dread. We get to the Bombers. 7th place last year with 12 wins and a draw, and who the hell knows what Asada's going to do to us in the next couple of weeks. That aside, for the moment, they're $5.75 to make the 4, $2.25 to make the 8, and $1.65 to miss it. But before the first game of the season, those markets might change a little bit depending on what the courts have to say.
Absolutely, and that's I haven't got too deep into Essendon, to be honest, purely for that fact. It's just too hard to say anything with any real conviction until we know actually what's going to be happening, who can play, who can't play. We don't want to get political on our show, but in all seriousness, I think they should all be banned for 2 years. Ahmed Zaid got 2 years. Yeah. Every one of those blokes should get 2 years. And that should be from the date of conviction, not from backdated until they miss 6 minutes or whatever they're trying to do now. But look, that's neither here nor there.
The Cronulla precedent makes things interesting there. Yeah. And I don't think the Cronulla precedent actually helps.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't help footy, and it doesn't help either code really be taken seriously as a body that says you just can't do this.
Well, I mean, I don't understand why the AFL has a say. The AFL shouldn't have a say. WADA or Asada should make the decision, and the AFL is forced to stand by it. And then whatever contingencies they have to put in place to keep 9 games per week happening is that's their damage control. It should have absolutely nothing to do with the AFL in terms of what the punishment is. But anyway, look, it's all just spitballing. As I said, it's just one of those things. It's a horrible situation for everyone involved. You feel for the players because I'm sure that they have no idea what's going on at the moment. But look, what will be, and I won't be putting too much money on Essendon at any point in time until we see the teams in front of us, I think.
No, absolutely. I mean, there are a few trends across the last couple of years that have been really poor as favourites of more than 15.5, covering only 3 out of 16, including none last year. But depending on how the Asada case comes up, that might be a completely moot point.
And that's, I guess that's the thing, mate. Mm. You know, we can't really look at trends until we know what the cattle, if
the cattle were the same, you'd say, take them on when they're big favourites, take them on in day games, take them on at Etihad, but that might all be completely irrelevant come March 30.
Well, I'm not a stats man, but if 32 of my 42 subjects got taken out of the stats, then I'm not putting too much confidence.
That's it. Suddenly you're going, well, what's their record when they're getting 12 goals start? Well, we've got nothing there. What's Bendigo's record getting 12 goals start against an AFL side? Not much to be working off there.
That's it.
And on that unpleasant little note for all Bombers fans, we conclude the second of our three podcasts. Join us again for part three when we start to dig into the genuine premiership contenders.
Good on you guys. Punt well.